Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 141 for April 2nd, 2014. Joe Walsh, WB6ACU, is our co-host tonight. Hey, every week we get to hear that. That's the Ham Nation's theme, and you are tuned to Ham Nation tonight. I'm Bob Heil, K9EID, and tonight we actually get to say hello and thank Joe Walsh, W6ACU, for that wonderful music. Joe, thanks for being here tonight. We really appreciate it. How you doing?
My pleasure, Bob. Great to be here. Hi, everybody.
Yay. And we're going to get back to you to see what that is behind you. Let's see what else we got cooking here tonight. First of all, George is here from Mississippi. George, how you doing?
Doing fine, Bob. Looking forward to a big show tonight. We have an all-star crew here tonight.
We do. And guess what else? We have W6TWT, the main twit at the Twit Network. Leo, thanks for being here. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Bob? I heard you had surgery. You feeling all right?
I'm great. I'm one-armed, but that's okay. I have a really great redheaded nurse that takes care of me.
That's always the best part.
Yes. You have a bunch of nice equipment, and I see you have two really prominent people there tonight. Tim Duffy, the wonderful K3LR. How you doing? You okay?
Hey, doing good, Bob. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you could make it. And Ray, Mr. ICOM, how are you, Ray?
Doing well, doing well. Had a fun time getting down here.
All right. And, of course, we're just having all kinds of fun. But before we get too far along and get back to Joe and find out what's behind him, we need to go to Costa Mesa, and it's Gordon West. How are you, Gordon?
We're fine, and Southern California survived the 5.2 earthquake. Nothing near the Chile earthquake, but it was rocking and rolling. Back to you, Bob.
All right. Well, let's not forget that you've got some ham fests. Let's kick those off real soon if you've got them handy, and then we can jump back to good old Joe. Let's see what's happening in the ham fest world first, though.
Roger, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 65th Visalia DX Convention. That's one that everybody's going to, and Contest Academy on that Friday. Also, Bob, this Friday, April 4th, November 4, Charlie. That's the Navajo 4 Code Talker. And they're going to have Chester Nez. He's the last surviving Navajo that did the code talking. He's from Platoon 382. They're going to be on 14.210 in the afternoon. Also, Joe, you'll like this. They've got a TBX-6. That's a 5-watt AM transmitter, and they'll be on 3885. So tune them in there. Thanks, Ron, KB5LNC. So that's what we have for this weekend, Code Talkers as well as Visalia. Back to you, Bob.
All right. Well, that's great. And there's a lot of activity going on all the bands these days. And I've been spending some time when we're down in the Ozarks on 10 meters. 10's been really good, and 15, so on. So we're having a good time. Well, we want to go back to Joe. Joe, I'm just really curious. What's going on behind you? That looks really intriguing. What are you doing, man?
Well, I've always wanted to get back into analog synthesizers, and really nice company on the internet, and I've been able to assemble pretty much everything I need for, well, let me show you this. It's pretty, pretty darn impressive. But this is a Moog synthesizer. This is a big one.
Wow. Look at that.
All right.
There you go.
Hey, yeah, we can see it. That's great.
That's what they were. And, you know, it's I guess it's obsolete with what they have now because they have, you know, little keyboards that have symphonies in them. But that's what started it all. Those are the individual modules. And you put them all together. It's monophonic, not only one note at a time. But it makes noises like nothing else does. You might remember Switched on Bach was an album a long time ago. And Tomita, Snowflakes Are Dancing.
Yeah.
Those guys that were the very beginning guys. And Tomita, it took him a year and a half to make that album.
Wow.
Working every day, one note at a time.
Well, evidently, your recent album, Analog Man in a Digital World, did it have anything to do with making you think about maybe we should try some analog synthesizers?
Yeah. There's just nothing like them to mess around and hook stuff up and turn knobs. You know, I love knobs, so I got a couple hundred of them in back of me. And you never know what you're going to get. But, yeah, I love the old analog technology, you know. It still sounds great. It's obsolete now, but it's perfectly good stuff.
Well, I don't think it's obsolete. It might be obsolete for some, but for those that can really do things with it, and of course, tracking, well, you can make some great things happen. What's going on in your amateur radio world? Have you got plans going to get some towers up, or what's happening?
Yeah, I've been waiting to put a big tower up, but we're going to finally do construction here on our house, and we're moving to another place. Because that's going to take quite a while. So I've got antennas going up as we speak for 80 and 20 and 40 so far.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to get back on the air. I haven't been on the air in a long time. The Eagles are just having a really good year.
Yeah.
And I've either been on stage or asleep. Pretty much.
I hear you. Well, we really enjoy the new tour, man. The history of the Eagles is great, and your guitar work is still just stupendous, Joe. And we're glad to have you spend a few minutes here on the show tonight. I want to do a couple of things before we kick over. Let's see, Leo.
Yeah.
Have you been keeping up with anything that Joe's doing with his Analog Man album?
Oh, I love that. You know, it's somebody in the chat room just mentioned, I think it was KF5ATH, said, we all have analog ears, so really analog music is fine, just fine. I would love to hear that, Moog. You know, I was a big fan of Wendy Carlos Williams and Switched on Bach and Tomita and Tangerine Dream and Rick Wakeman, all the people who use those great analog synthesizers, and it is a unique sound. So I can't wait. Are you going to make a record with that, Joe?
Well, I think I'm going to embellish. I think I'm going to start using it on songs and stuff. They're great for bass lines and stuff. I don't know if I'll make a record like Tomita did. But whole record would take quite a while.
We don't have the time.
Yeah. But I can sneak stuff onto new songs that I'm writing.
Sweeten it.
And, you know, these things, you can write music. It comes out totally different than if you're on a guitar or a piano or something.
Does it, you said it's one note at a time, so it doesn't do chording. It's can you make chords with it?
But it won't change like it should in the scale. It is a monophonic. That means you have an oscillator that you turn on and off, and that plays one note. Now, you can have a bunch of oscillators and add overtones and stuff.
Got it.
But no, we call that polyphonic, is when you can play chords like on the piano. And the early Moog stuff was just monophonic. Basically, you know, the keyboard turns it on and off and tells it what frequency to play. And that's how it all started.
Do you record? Yeah. You must record digitally now, though.
Yeah, everybody does.
Yeah.
Everybody does. You know, it's different. It's really affected the music. I'm not sure for the better. People record differently. And I'm not sure I like it.
I don't know if you're familiar with what Neil Young's doing with the Pono music player, the idea of being able to play back. It's still digital, but music that is 192 kilohertz instead of 44.1. What do you think of that?
I think it's great. I really do. Neil's been working on that for a long time, and it's quite feasible, and I hope it takes off for him.
What bit rate do you typically record at when you record?
Oh, 44.1 works good. 96, maybe. We don't go all the way up because it just eats up.
Sure.
It eats up gigabytes, you know.
Sure.
Up at 192. But 44.1, 24-bit is pretty good.
So you don't do 16, you go to 24. That will give you a lot more resolution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 24-bit.
Yeah.
We'll go on up if it's an orchestra or something like that. There's not that much difference at 24-bit.
And it's not single sideband, am I right? just kidding. Just kidding. It's all FM, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's a whole bunch. You're recording a whole bunch of frequencies that nobody can hear also, you know.
I do know that. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, when you get this all together and you track it all, as I said, we got a good drummer. George can do little drums for you. And George, did you ever play with a synthesizer in your music days?
I sure did. As a matter of fact, first band I was in, the keyboard player had built one of these Paya synthesizers. Are you familiar with the Paya synthesizers from long ago, Joe?
No. No, I'm not.
Think
I
it
should
was
be, and I'm not. Go ahead. Tell me about it.
Yeah, I think it was P-A-I-A is how you pronounced it. They sold synthesizer kits. Of course, nowhere near as good as a Moog, but you built your modules, and you had to use patch cords to stick everything together with. And every now and during the middle of a gig, the thing would just go off and sound like a siren or something in the background, so we finally made him quit using it.
Oh, well. Oh, well. And then, Leo, there's David that now does all the Carbonite stuff. He was the
ARP.
The big deal at ARP, wasn't
ARP,
he?
That's right. He partnered with ARP, who made the ARP synthesizer. And yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
I was a dealer for them years ago. I sold a lot of ARP synthesizers, and we had several guys here doing lectures and workshops in our ye olde music back in the 70s for the ARP. That was great. Joe, you used ARP synthesizers, didn't you, when you were doing sure some did. Things? With,
sure did. A lot. Matter of fact, I've got a 2500.
25.
Which is a really big one.
Wow.
With about a 5-foot-long keyboard, I've got that in my locker, and that used all matrix switching. You know,
yeah. Because I want to look up number 9, the picture that I sent you, Brian. See if you remember this, Joe, because this would have been some of the times that we had the Mellotron and a couple of other things.
Look at that. Who are those people?
That's my band Barnstorm.
That's great.
Yep.
Bill Vitale and Kenny Pazzarelli, they play with Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Sure. Yep.
And the other guys, I'm not sure who they are.
And what are you holding there? What is that?
I had built him. I built him a little practice amplifier that we wanted to use to drive the talk box with.
And yep,
I had built.
Not,
yep. and I brought that over to Kiel Auditorium because we were doing the sound on that tour. But that was that little practice amp, really, is what we built it for the talk box.
Bob,
but,
where'd all that long hair go, Bob? Look at that. You old hippie, you. Look at you.
Well, we were so engrossed in what we were doing on the road, we didn't have time to get a haircut.
Oh, that's
right,
your story,
huh? Mm-hmm. Yep. There's another one, too. Number 10, that next one was kind of later on, the James Gang Rides Again, and we were fixing something, Joe.
Yeah. Is that a soldering iron in your hand there?
Yeah, of course. And I like the one, number 11. This was kind of fun. Joe, you might not even known about this. You remember you had a gig, it was in Long Beach, and you had that new high-watt amplifier?
Mm-hmm.
And about 10 minutes before showtime, after everything was done, Mark come running out to me and he says, the amp doesn't work. And so I real quick took the amp out. And the fuse holder was all messed up in it for something. So I took a piece of wire, actually I think it was solder, and just shorted it together, plugged it back, and you did the whole show. I don't know if you ever knew that happened or not, but that's what we do in rock and roll stages, as you know.
Yeah, I did. They never secured the fuse holder, and eventually it just fell out.
That's right. And that's all I had as a tool to fix the darn thing, and we didn't have time to go out in the truck. So everybody, this is rock and roll at its best. And it's just, that's what kept us going, wasn't it, Joe? Is the ham radio in us that would make things happen. It's a lot different today.
Yeah, it sure is.
Everything is so pristine, but we loved all those days. Number 6, we'll go on to a couple more pictures while we're here. Number 6 is kind of neat. This is that wonderful 7800 on AM when we worked the contest. We were trying to figure it out. But we had fun, didn't we? It was good. Yeah, it was good. And yeah, I like number 3.
You know, kinda... we were just doing that cold. There was no manual. Oh, there's my stuff.
Is that nice or what? Wow, yeah. That's a great station. What was that, 500? Is that a Johnson 500?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And an SX-88.
Beautiful stuff. Oh, we have pictures galore. But I just thought I'd show everybody a few things that goes on in your life and ours together. We've had so much fun together, and a lot more coming, that's for sure. And I look forward to getting some things on the air with you. That'll be fun. Everybody can get to hear your big signal out of there. That's going to be super duper. Tim, have you got anything that you need to secure with Joe before we get Val in here? You guys been watching all this. You got the card from that event. That's kind of special.
It is very special. And, of course, I got that from you here a few months back when you visited DX Engineering Headquarters, which is in Talmadge, Ohio, which is close to Kent State. Yeah, you know where Talmadge is, Joe.
Yeah, there's a big traffic circle there with the Dunkin' Donuts.
That's right. I go through that traffic circle every day.
I do too, every night.
What about Kent State, Joe? That brings back some memories, right?
Yeah, I went to Kent State in 1966 to about 1971. Still a junior in good standing.
No, you're a PhD, Joe. You got a doctorate. Yeah. Don't give me that.
Well, they eventually gave me an honorary degree, so that's okay. But Kent State was a great place then. It was a great place. Live music, a lot of live music, and everybody came. And that's where I put in my 10,000 hours, actually, playing in a club there. Three sets a night, you know, about four nights a week.
Wow. Yeah. You earned your stripes, Joe.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Those were great days on the road. And to me, the best part was seeing Barnstorm come together, Joe. That was really a wonderful thing, because you put that band together the way you wanted it, and we put the gear to, and you still have a lot of that. You've got the Mellotron and some of that.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a bad habit of not throwing anything away.
Hams don't do that. We don't throw anything away, because you never know when you're going to need them.
No, I just can't stand the thought of anybody else having it. I don't really want it, but I've just got so much stuff now.
Joe, do you still have the voice box that Bob made for you way back when?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
I sure do. Yeah. I sure do. You should see it. It's all taped up and stuff. It doesn't smell very good at this point, but it still works.
Wow, that's great. That's a piece of history. Isn't one of them, Bob, in the Hall of Fame? I think it is.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the very first one, the prototype that we built was out of fiberglass, and Joe signed it, and it's on display in the Rock Hall. We're very honored by that display, and Joe still keeps it going. We could do a whole show on the talk box. I was just reading the other day, Joe, about W6UK. Alvino Ray was the guy that really put that together. Back in 1939, and I was reading the story about him the other day. I used to work him on 20 meters. He and Roy Neal would get on in the morning. And interestingly enough, for a lot of the viewers, there's a band called Arcadia Fire, and those are the grandsons of Alvino Ray, W6UK. Of course,
what?
He's a scientist.
Arcade Fire is Alvino Ray's grandson?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And if you pay close attention, whenever they appear on their backdrop, they have a couple of QSL cards of W6UK. Oh, really?
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's a piece of trivia there.
They're a great band. Did you know about that, Joe?
No, not at all.
Yeah, those kids are grandsons. And then it went to Pete Drake, and I think it was actually Peach Rig, maybe, that you did the recording of Rocky Mountain, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Pete Drake had a song called Forever.
Forever?
The pedal steel player, and I think it was about 1950. Yeah, 54 or 55, something like that. And it got put in his garage for a long time. I used Pete Drake's that didn't smell very good either.
and then we were putting Barnstorm together, and Crinkle said, what are we going to do for live? So you and I grabbed a big old 250-watt JBL driver, built a high-pass filter, put it in a paper sack. If you remember, we didn't have anything to put it in.
Yeah.
looked like a wine bottle sitting underneath your stand. Yeah. And the hose, but guess what? It worked.
Worked great.
And then I came up with the little talk box as we know it today, and it's still out there. But all those were great days, and there'll be others to follow, that's for sure. Well, I got a couple of things we want to do here. First of all, before you get out of here, Joe, Sarah came up with this last night, and she came up with a movie trivia, and we're going to let our contest guru, which is George, we're going to let him handle this, but here's the question for everyone. There was a movie that Joe Walsh and Steven Spielberg appeared in cameos in, the same movie. We want to know what movie that was. George, tell them how they're going to win. The top five are going to win some Heil T-shirts, just like you are showing tonight. How they do that?
That's right, Bob. Just like the one I'm wearing here, not the one I'm wearing here. I'm keeping this one. But if you'd like to win it, send the answer to hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and we'll have a random drawing of five lucky winners. You got to answer that question, though. We got to know what movie that was that Joe and Steven Spielberg both appeared in. Hamnationcontest@gmail.com.
Okay. Yeah. And we'll get them shipped up here and out the door. That'll be fun. And I learned today, Joe, you didn't even know that. And so Sarah dug it out, and there it is. But it's out there. That's fun. Well, we have a new co-host coming on, because we're going to start a new segment here on Ham Nation, and we're going to give you a little taste of it tonight. Joe, would you like to introduce our new co-host? Do you have the information there?
Yeah, I do. Let me get it. Hang on.
What is okay. it, a puppet? What is it?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This is exciting.
Okay. Her name's Natalie, right?
Valerie.
Close.
Valerie. Oh, this is Natalie. Okay, yeah. Valerie. Nancy Victor 9 Lima?
That's her.
That's her. And she did the contest school, I guess. Mm-hmm. And set was in her first contest and set a whole bunch of new records.
Yeah.
And, Tim.
yeah, Bob.
Freight train.
Tim taught her at Contest University, and he calls her his poster child. So
she did amazing.
Yeah. Without further ado, let's see if NV9L is around. She's probably out working DX while we're all there. There she is.
Hi guys.
Hi.
Sorry.
What band you looking at back there? Probably 20 meters, right?
No, I got 40 up right now.
40. Okay. Well, we're really happy that you're here. And Joe, you're getting up antennas so you can work her, right?
I would love to.
I would love to work you too. I've never worked you, Joe.
All right. Well, we'll do that. We'll do that. You just stay on Bob. Bother Bob, and you'll work me. I promise.
All right.
Yeah, that's going to be great. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time, Joe. Valerie's going to get in with some stuff here with Tim in a minute, and so I know what you got cooking. You want to get back there and see what other kind of sounds you can get. So thanks very much, Joe, for spending time with us tonight. We wish you all success while you travel Europe, and we'll stay. Maybe I'll take your iPad with you and check in some night on you know where we are and how to get here. So we'd love to have you.
Yeah, I should. I should be on more often. I just want to congratulate the show. Been around, I think, a lot longer than any of us thought it would.
Certainly me.
And still going strong. Hi to everybody. Hi to you, Leo.
Nice to see you, Jeff.
Thanks for riding shotgun on it.
Thanks for that great theme song, man. That thing rocks.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty good.
I want some that vocoder or that talker on there, though. I want a little wah, wah, wah.
All right.
And maybe a little Moog, too, while you're at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sweeten it up.
The next theme song will be Moog.
Awesome.
There you go.
Made for CW. That Moog was made for it.
That's right. You guys rock on, and I'll be on again and chat some more. It's great to be on, and hi Ray and hi Gordy and all of that, and we'll see you. 73s.
Okay, 73, Joe. Thanks a lot for spending some time with us. Leo, you look great tonight. I'm glad that you could make it and get to speak with Joe a little bit.
We tuned up to 14267 over there, so.
There you go.
As soon as we get an antenna, I'm
ready. Okay.
Thank you, Bob. You guys do a great job. It's really great to see you and to see Ray and Tim there. And Ray, thank you for the great gear. Boy, we love our ICOM gear here. Thank you so much.
We just need to get it where we can use it again.
Yep.
Yeah. We'll come up with something. Well, thanks a lot for being with us, and we'll talk to you again real soon, Leo. You take care and
have
fun. Take
care, Bob. 73.
Okay. Well, Tim, I want to pass this on to you and let you and Valerie kick around what Contest University is all about, and let's hear a little bit more about what Valerie's got cooking. I know she's got a lot on her plate, and she's going to be our new host for a new segment of Contest and DXing, and she's the gal to do it. So, Tim, why don't you have a little session with Val for a little bit?
We're just very excited about this, Bob. I think all of the Ham Nation viewers should be very excited about this new segment that Val is going to do. You couldn't have picked a better person to really take a hold of DXing and contesting and bring it to Ham Nation. And a lot of the new people that are getting started in amateur radio, Valerie will do a tremendous job just introing a lot of new faces And a few years back when Valerie came to Contest University the first time, she was all bright-eyed and said, hey, I want to learn as much as I can learn, as fast as I can learn it. And I said, Val, you have come to the right place. So, Val, welcome to Ham Nation.
Well, thanks, guys. You know, I'm really excited because I really, my favorite aspect of the hobby is DXing and contesting. And I may not be the best contester or DXer out there. I've only been doing it a few years, but I definitely have enough enthusiasm to take this by the horns and run with it. So I'm really excited. Thanks a lot.
And Val, most recently, in fact, at DX Engineering, we worked very close with you during the FT5ZM just massive de-expedition that went on here a few weeks ago. Why don't you tell the viewers a little bit about being a pilot, the North American pilot? I mean, that's a prestigious job.
Yeah, this was my third time being a pilot. This was my second time being the lead pilot. What a pilot is it's basically the communication hub between the operators around the world and the de-expedition team or team leaders. So I would send them daily reports from the other pilots from around the world on other continents that we had, and give them information that would be pertinent to operating. Maybe they're on a frequency that nobody in Europe can hear them on because there's some radar running 24/7 on that frequency, and so we get them to move. Or I'll send them Dow Jones reports, or I subscribe to tsunami warning system to let them know, or and have other pilots around the country set up to get texts on that should something happen and we need to get a hold of them. So it's just a communication thing. But I definitely learned a lot by being a pilot. So it was definitely worth it. Anybody who wants to eventually get to the other side of the pileup, that's a good place to start because you really do learn a lot.
And you're very plugged into social media. I mean, you're very active on Facebook, and a lot of amateur radio events get publicized, and the time that those events go on are shared on Facebook and on Google Plus and of course Twitter, and you're very active there. So I think that you bring that to this to Ham Nation as well. So that's very cool. Tell us, you've been out to Field Day and had fun at Field Day, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that was probably my first time working a pileup, not quite like a de-expedition pileup, but it was a little pileup. And that's sort of my first test of or taste of contesting. But really, it wasn't until I went to W9DXEC where I met some contesters. And they sort of talked me into starting off with a small contest. So I my first contest was California CUSO Party. I won my event. I was the only entry in my category, but I won my category. I was the YL out-of-state low power. But then I went to Contest U, and really, if anybody's even thinking about getting into contesting, I suggest you go to Dayton a day early and do Contest U on Thursday. I'm doing it this Thursday again. I'm always going to learn something new. And it's also a who's who of it, contesting. It's a great social event as well.
So there's a lot of folks that are hearing the word contester or contesting for the first time, just taking a look at the chat room. And so what do you think is the big draw? What is so fun about contesting for you, Val?
Well, I know the real rate is when you're running a pileup and you're running on a frequency. You have your own frequency and you're calling CQ and everybody's coming to you. But there's also a fun aspect with searching and pouncing when you go and you go work all these other people who are running a frequency. It's almost like a video game, especially when you have the right software up and you have the band plan up and you just click on it and your radio goes right to it and you work that guy and you click it and you try and turn all your blue guys and red guys or yellow guys gray. And it's actually like a video game, and it's a lot of fun. And the first time I really got hooked was when I did CQ Worldwide Sideband. I just did 10 meters low power so I could sleep at night, and I worked 88 countries in one weekend, so that's kind of when I really got hooked.
So tell us about your station, Val. I mean, you don't have towers all over the place, right?
No, it's very modest. I mean, I just got this for my birthday, but prior to this, I was using a 706 Mark II G with a wire, and then I got a beam. I have a three-element beam on my roof. It's 45 feet up. Nothing spectacular. I was always doing low power because I do have amps, but they only put out a 400 or 500 watts. So I know if I go high power, I'm going to be trying to compete with people putting out 1,500 watts. So it's really not apples to apples. So I just do a low power category, and I've made really good showings a lot of the times just doing low power. I did just break the 9-land record this last one, and I may have a USA record. Me and K1ZO had a little horse race there, so it's anxious to see the results. We were very close in this last CQ Worldwide sideband 10-meter low power. That was it, and a very, very modest station.
So are you a member of some of the local clubs and maybe even a contest club?
Yeah, I am a member of the GMDXA. That's where I first started, and I got into DXing. And when I went to the W9DXCC, which is a DX convention in the nine land area, but it's open to everybody. And that's where I first met contesters, and I joined the Society of Midwest Contesters. My dues are $10 a year. You can't beat it, and the advice I got is priceless. I'll send an email out to the reflector, and I usually have 20 responses within 5 minutes.
So you would classify yourself as a very active contester, but I think you're continuing to learn, and I know I learn something every contest that goes on. And in fact, Ray came and operated at K3LR here a few years ago, and he taught me some things.
Oh, I did, really?
Yeah.
How not to fall asleep when the band's dead?
That's right. Yeah, you were making QSOs all night long on 20 meters, and it's part of that butt in the chair. That butt in the chair is what matters.
Yeah, and George and the guys that do 10 meters for you, they're the ones that I learned from, and they said, just put a signal there. There's possibly going to be somebody there, or who knows when a weird band opening will come up. So keeping that butt in the chair and keep calling CQ.
Yeah, and that's the most interesting thing. There are so many things to do in the amateur radio hobby, and it's tough for a show like Ham Nation to cover everything. But, you know, when you turn on the radio on a given weekend, any weekend,
yeah,
there is a contest going on. Maybe it's the New Hampshire QSO party. I think there was even a special contest on April 1st. There's all sorts of contests that go on. And so I applaud Bob and Gordo and George for seeing the future here of Ham Nation and asking Valerie to come on board. Bob, this is fabulous.
Well, that's what we're trying to achieve here. We have so many segments. We want to do a QRP segment. There are things to do with digital, and we just don't have enough time in a one-hour show. And so what we've been talking about with Brian and all of the people back in Petaluma, how we could do this, and this is we're going to try to do this and hope that everybody will chime in and help us. Tell us what you need and see if we can make it happen. And the only way to do that is to have these segments every couple of weeks or every other. It'll see how it works. And that way we'll be able to cover a lot of subjects. Now, it means you're going to have to watch the show and make sure you're here every week, but you are anyway. And we just don't want to cover the same thing. So that's what we're going to do, Tim. You think that's going to work? What's your idea of that?
Oh, I think it's going to work great, Bob. And I like the idea of mixing it up. As I said, you could spend 24 hours a day, doing ham radio. There's just so much to do. I think, you know, the guys that do QRP, the guys that do the nets. I mean, I check into nets. I check into 5 different nets every week. I'm on 75 meters in nets. And I do my share of rag chewing, too. To and from work. On 2 meters. I mean, who wouldn't? It's a great opportunity to get on and meet new people, especially when somebody from out of town comes on a repeater and nobody goes back to them. I jump at the chance to welcome them and meet somebody new and to hear about their fun, what they like about amateur radio. There's just so much to do, and so it's tough to do it in 60 minutes every week, and thank God we've been able to extend the show some weeks to 90 minutes and more, because there is so much going on in this hobby.
There is, and my whole situation is that I hear guys, and they get on the same frequency every night, and they talk to their friends, and that's all fine and good, but man, once in a while, turn that dial and see what else is out there, and that's what we're going to try to do with some of these other segments, and so I'm really happy to be able to. We've been thinking about this a lot, to find out who would be that person, and that person is here. We're very excited to have Val with us. Val, do you have any little last minute news about what's going on in the DX world real quick, just to kind of give us a little teaser as to what you're going to do?
Absolutely. Well, tonight I was going to tell you about the latest DX going on, but then I just got a email about VK9MT, which is the hot DX expedition going on right now. They're number 22 on the most wanted list. And they just sent out a notice that there is a tropical depression near them. And so they are going to be packing up all the non-essential items. And at 0300, in about an hour or so, if the weather is not improving, they may be tearing down. So they're asking anybody, if you've already worked them, please step aside and let them, the other people who need them for an all-time new one, get in there and not work on the bingo card, so to speak. So that was going to really take preference on the rest of the DX. But yeah, there's a lot of cool DX right now. Guinea-Bissau, Tonga, Morocco, Agosuaro, they're all out there right now. And if you guys want to try out a contest, you don't need to turn a login this weekend. We got two QSO parties going on. We got Mississippi and Missouri. It's a good time to try that out. All you have to do is give your signal report and your state. And that's it. And you can try it out and see if you like it.
You mean we could work George and get a point this weekend? Is that true?
Absolutely. Well, and he would get one as well. Yeah. And you don't even have to turn a login. You can just go out there and have fun and pass out some QSOs.
That's great. Well, we really appreciate you taking your time, because I know you're a really busy lady. You have a day job, and you fix your own antennas, and you put all your station together, and here you're going to take us on. I'm really excited about this. So thank you so much, and I couldn't think of a better time to have you on to let Joe Walsh introduce you to the Ham Nation audience, and we're happy to have you, and we'll see how it all goes from here. Well, I think that Tim has a couple of words about a real nice company over in Talmadge, Ohio. And Kent, Joe told you right where that was. He's been there.
he has been there. He was there before I was. And now I've, as of June last year, I'm just very fortunate to be a part of the DX engineering team. And we have a lot of products that we carry. We carry, of course, the ICOM line of radios. See, here's the mug that turns both ICOM and DX. And of course, we make some very interesting products, some products that no other manufacturer makes, like the noise-canceling controller that Ray is holding. And this is a very effective tool, and you can see it on our website for phasing two antennas together to eliminate noise and to allow you to hear more stations, whether they be DX stations or even local stations. Some guys are really using this quite effectively to solve complicated receive problems. And so that is available at DX Engineering. It is our flagship product. We also have things like 43-foot verticals. And all of these items are in stock and ready for shipment. If the item that you order from DX Engineering is in stock, it ships that same night. Get your order in before 10 o'clock, and it is the most impressive thing, Bob, when you see the UPS and FedEx trucks backing up, and it is go time. At 10 o'clock, once the order shut down, everybody is boxing and stapling things together, and out the door it goes. Here is a great tool that we just introduced. This is the Mass Load Estimator. And so for those of you who want to put up multiple antennas on the top of a tower, you can put in your antenna here in the Mass Load Estimator. This is a free program that is on the DX Engineering site. Put in the wind load area, and we also have a chart there if you don't know the wind load for your antenna. There goes antenna one. That's 4 feet above the top of the tower, and the mast is 11 feet tall. Here goes the 6-meter beam. That's antenna number two. That's going to go at 9 feet up on the mast, and then you push the calculate, and it tells you right away if that mast is going to survive at 60, 80, 100, or 120 miles an hour. Once you get ready, you can add it to your cart and get it shipped to your door. And, Bob, this is incredible. For $107, it ships anywhere in the lower 48 states. And so this particular cart had more in it than just the mast. Here we are. Here's a mast getting ready to go out the door. all sealed up, nicely comes in corrugated cardboard so that it arrives without any dings. It's a galvanized, high-strength chromoly mast. We even put dollies on it. There's two sets of dollies that go on it so that you can pull it up your driveway. That's how it comes to you right out of the truck. Isn't that incredible? This is a DX Engineering. Just go to dxengineering.com 24 hours a day. If you want to talk to our knowledgeable sales guys, 8:30 to 4:30 Eastern Time every day during the work week, they're available to help you make your purchases. dxengineering.com.
Hey, I was there. I saw it in person. I couldn't believe it. My gosh, it's amazing. So we're really happy to have you with us, Tim. And I look forward to a lot more visits there. And gosh knows what's going to happen because you guys are able to turn out some products. So very, very cool. That's for sure. Well, we have some news outside of what's going on here tonight. And Don Wilbanks was so kind to do this and pre-record all this. So we just couldn't get him in the show tonight. But he'll be here next week. But here he is to give us Newsline. Don, it's all yours.
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 1911, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, April 2nd, 2014. Big news in the Ham Satellite Arena. Amateur Radio Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3TZD.
Ham Radio will have its own geostationary transponders on orbit by the end of 2016. This thanks to approval of a concept from the Qatar Amateur Radio Society to include a pair of Phase 4 amateur transponders, part of the Qatar Satellite Company's new SHELSAT-2 communication satellite. Peter Guelzo, DB2OS, is the president of AMSAT Germany. He says that Qatar's SHELSAT-2 will carry a 250 kHz wide linear transponder intended for conventional analog operations such as CW and SSB. Also on board will be an 8 MHz wide transponder to be used for experimental digital modulation schemes and digital amateur television. Precise operating frequencies remain to be finalized, but the uplinks will be in the 2.4 to 2.45 GHz and the downlinks in the 10.45 to 10.5 GHz amateur satellite service allocations. Both of the transponders will be feeding broadbeam antennas to provide coverage of about one-third of the Earth's surface. This equates to Europe, Africa, along with parts of South America and Asia. Because of its orbital position and the antenna beam width, it will not provide service to Central and North America. Precise operational plans will be finalized over the coming months, but it is anticipated that only quite simple ground station equipment will be required to hold QSOs via the transponders on board the soon-to-be-orbited geostationary satellite.
You'll find links to more information on this exciting development in the printed edition of this week's Amateur Radio Newsline Report. Still with space news, Jim Davis, W2JKD, tells us there will be a delay in the final commissioning of the new ham TV system on board the International Space Station.
According to Eris Europe Chairman Gaston Bertels, ON4WF, the final step to bring ham TV into full operation now will not take place until late April or early May due to the scheduled arrival of the SpaceX Dragon resupply ship, docking, and related operations.
Because of this, the ham video blank transmissions came to an end March 31st. Saturday, April 26th, stations around the world will be on the air to celebrate International Marconi Day. This is a once-a-year opportunity to make contact with historic Marconi locations around the world and to celebrate the birth of Guglielmo Marconi, April 25th, 1874. So far, over 20 Marconi-related sites have confirmed they'll be on board this year's celebration. These include the historic GB4 IMD at Poldhu in Cornwall, England, along with VO1AA on Signal Hill in St. John's, Newfoundland, and W2MRC at Monmouth Junction in New Jersey. All stations planning to participate are urged to register in advance. You'll find full details at www.gb4imd.com. And now Jim Davis has a couple of names in the news.
Tony Emanuel, WA8RJF, has been named the new VHF editor of CQ Amateur Radio Magazine. A ham for nearly 50 years, Emanuel, who lives in Painesville, Ohio, has been active on VHF and above for the past 30 years. He enjoys building equipment and is operated on all bands from 6 meters to 47 gigahertz. He succeeds Joe Lynch, N6CL, who stepped down after 22 years as the VHF editor to devote his full energies to his new position as Director of Religious Education for the United States Military Academy at West Point, New York. And Fernando Casanova, EC1AME, has posted that back in the 1980s, while he was reading the Spanish language magazine Hola, and found a very interesting article about Marlon Brando's private island in the Pacific. Amongst the pictures he spotted were two ham radio-related ones and later posted them to the EA1URO internet discussion site. As some of you may know, Marlon Brando was licensed as KE6ZPH here in the USA and FO5GJ while in Tahiti. Brando was listed in the Federal Communications Commission records as Martin Brando, B-R-A-N-D-E-A-U-X, to preserve his privacy and that he used that name while on the air. His private island was to become a luxury resort in 2013.
And finally this week, NASA has released an interactive mosaic of infrared images of the Milky Way. The Galactic Legacy Midplane Survey Extraordinaire Project, or GLIMPSE 360 for short, allows viewers to see stars normally obstructed by interstellar dust. The variable zoom image is a composite of more than 2 million photos taken by the Spitzer Space Telescope over the course of a decade and sent back to Earth via its radio system. NASA says all of these images together still only make up 3% of our night sky, but because the Milky Way is shaped like a stellar pancake, that small percentage still shows more than half of the stars in its disk. Again, you'll find links in the printed edition of this week's Amateur Radio Newsline report. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news brought to you each and every week for over 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
As usual, a great report from you, Don, and we'll look for you live here next week. I am not sure. Let's see, next week I will not be here. Tim will not be here. We're all going to be in Las Vegas at the NAB show. BSW is doing a big thing there also. We'll be in their booth. But next Wednesday night, Tim, we get to have about 800 of our closest friends in a reception that you're going to join in the sponsorship. So I appreciate you doing that. That's going to be fun.
It's going to be a great time, Bob, and I can't tell you, I haven't been to an NAB in a long time. Looking forward to going back and seeing a lot of the faces and some new faces, and I'm just thrilled to be part of your team, and the DX Engineering is thrilled to be sponsoring alongside Heil Sound.
Yeah, okay.
And we're great. Crashing a party too, Bob.
Ray, I was going to say, you coming this year also?
Yes, sir. I'm going to be there bringing my wife Cindy along with me, who is watching a show but not in the chat room, she tells me. But there's going to be a $7,100 for a door prize.
Oh, my. Okay. Well, Tim, that leaves you and I out. We can't enter the contest since we're sponsoring the show, but what can I tell you? Oh, wow. Well, we have a little bit of word here from ICOM, so let's crank up the old machine, Brian, and see what you got.
Last year, ICOM introduced the IC7100 touchscreen mobile to rave reviews. Now, ICOM's doing it again, taking innovation and mobility to the next level. This time, they're announcing the new ID5100A, a VHF-UHF dual-band digital transceiver. ICOM's mobile radio features a large responsive 5.5-inch touchscreen with software keypad and independent main dials, volume, and squelch for A and B bands. The ID5100A also includes an integrated GPS receiver, position, course, speed, and altitude are displayed. The GPS antenna is located in the remote head, so no external GPS antenna is required. And there's a great DV and FM analog repeater list function that uses the GPS position info to display repeaters near you. The dual-band receiver offers VHF-UHF, VHF-VHF, and UHF-UHF simultaneous receive capabilities. Digital functions include D-Star DV mode operation, dual-watch receivers, D-plus reflector linking, and enhanced DPRS. An optional Bluetooth unit supports headsets for hands-free communications. And there's the free RS-MS-1A Android app available for download on Google Play that offers a number of useful remote features. The ID5100A has 50 watts output power for both VHF and UHF, an SD card slot for recording and playing back QSOs, CS5100 cloning software, and much more. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's ID5100A D-Star Mobile. And after each episode of Ham Nation, go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation
and enter to win some great prizes from the ICOM Swag Store. Also, they're giving away a prize each month, a grand prize, that's going to be a radio. And last month's winner was Brian KK4QYI, and he won a brand new IC80AD. Congratulations, Brian. Thanks for participating in the contest. And Ray, you know, we just saw that ad on the new ID5100A. Can we give one of those away next month?
That's going to be the radio that's going to be for the April.
Oh, great. Yeah, it's the ID5100A, the dual watch mobile with 50 watts of power on both VHF and UHF. Plus, it's got touchscreen, D-Star, built-in GPS, SD card storage, Android remote control, and available Bluetooth connectivity, and a lot more. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this episode of Ham Nation, and after each episode, and throw your name in the hat. You could win. Well, right now, we're going to kind of pick up where we left off last week. We were talking about interfacing external audio to your rig. Last week, we showed you how to use a transformer and various methods for unbalanced and balanced connections. This week, I'm going to build a breakout box. It's an oldie but a goodie, but it's been updated just a little bit because I had a lot of people wanting to know how to hook external audio to an IC70. Which one was that? An IC7200.
Most rigs have DIN connectors on the rear that are used for connecting external equipment. This DIN connector here is a 7-pin, and you'll notice that it has holes in each pin so that you can tin your wire, slip it down in there, and then solder it. Now, you need to be aware that just because it's a 7-pin does not mean it will fit your rig. There are different configurations of these connectors, and you might have the same number of pins, but they could be lined out differently on the connector. So be aware of that when choosing the right connector for your rig. Now, some connectors, like this 13-pin, have so many pins and they're so small that there's not room to put a hole in the top. In this case, you'll have to put a little bead of solder on top of these pins and then solder your wire to it. You can reach this with the soldering iron. I've already done this connector, but I wanted to show you that it is possible. You just get the finest tip that you can find, and it will fit right in there on top of the connector pin. Now, it's best to do the wires that are in the center of the connector first, and then work your way toward the outside. You'll also notice that I put heat shrink tubing over these wires, and that's because when you heat the wire, it'll often cause the insulation to shrink back. So I use the heat shrink so that after I had soldered the wires down, I could pull the heat shrink over the exposed wire and then not have naked wires hanging out loose in the connector to short out. If you purchase a new ICOM rig, it will come with a pigtail already soldered to the 13-pin DIN connector. You can look in the manual and you'll find the color code for these wires to translate it to pin numbers, and this will help you get going a lot quicker. Today, we're going to build a breakout box for the IC7200, so we began by looking in the manual at the 13-pin DIN accessory socket. Pin 2 is ground. Pin 11 is the modulator input where we would feed audio from our mixer into the rig. And pin 12 is the AF detector output that we would feed to an amplifier to a speaker. Now, ground is pin 2, and if we look at the table, that's going to be red. Not sure why they chose red for ground. The modulator input is pin 11, and that's the pink wire. The detector output is pin 12, and that's the light blue wire. And the push-to-talk wire goes to pin 3, and that one's orange. You should be aware that there's no standard for the 13-pin DIN connector. Some rigs don't even have it. The Yaesu FT2000 here does not have the 13-pin DIN. In this case, you'd get your audio in and out on another connector on the rig. The Kenwood TS2000 does have a 13-pin DIN. However, the pinout's different than it is on the ICOM. The pinout can even vary among different models from a single manufacturer. For example, the TS450S has pin 12 connected to the modulator.
I don't think TS-2000 even has a modulator. Before we begin, let's take a look at the schematic. Pin 2 is ground and goes to the ring of each connector. Pin 3 is push to talk. Pin 12 is audio out. And pin 11 is audio in. Let's get started building our breakout box. So we'll use the 13-pin DIN with a pigtail that ICOM supplied. And for a box, I'm going to mount all this in an Altoids 10. Now, it's kind of small, so there's not room for the quarter-inch jacks, so I'll use these mini plugs instead. You can use whatever type of connectors you'd like. You might want to use two of the same for audio and a second type for the push-to-talk so you don't get them confused. But I'll use three mini plugs for all of this. First, we'll decide where we're going to mount our connectors, and I think I'll put them down the side here. And we'll run our cable in the end of it. Let's mark the spots on the box where we want to punch holes. Now, I could drill these out with a drill, but this is such thin material, I'm going to use my hole punch instead. Now we'll prepare our connectors by tinning each terminal. I had originally planned to use a grommet around this wire where it goes through the hole to keep it from cutting through the insulation. However, the grommet is going to be too big to fit in the box and the lid close at the same time. So instead, I'll put two or three layers of heat shrink tubing around the jacket of the cable to protect it. The ground terminals of the connectors are all common, so we'll tin a piece of wire and use that as a bus to connect them together. Now, with the aid of the solder buddy, we'll connect our wires to the tips of the connectors. The pink will be the input wire, the light blue will be the audio output wire, and the orange will be the push-to-talk. Now that looks great, doesn't it? But I forgot one important step. I needed to put the wire through the hole in the box first. Nothing to do but go back and remove them and do it again. This time we'll make sure that the wire is already through the hole before we begin. And you may notice the other bundle of wires that I'm not using. I put a piece of heat shrink tubing over the end of those to keep them from shorting out against the box. Now that we've got all the connections made, we can mount the jacks inside the box. To keep our cable from pulling out of the box, we'll put a tie wrap on the inside and tighten it down real tight. Everything fit together nicely. Now, to prevent the wire from twisting, we could take a little hot glue or other good glue and put on the inside here next to the cable to keep it from spinning. There's only one thing left to do, and that's to label the project so we know which cable goes in which connector. So there you have it. The Rig Interface Breakout Box. Now just connect a single-pole, single-throw switch to the push-to-talk connector, the output of your mixer into the in jack on the box, and the out jack of the box to another input on a mixer or to a set of powered speakers. There you go. It's not that difficult to do, and I'd encourage you to use the accessory port in the rear of your rig, particularly if you're going to be hooking up an external mixer or preamp or something like that for your microphone. You don't want to use a microphone connector on a rig because you're just going to overdrive it. And this way you're also bypassing the mic preamp in the rig and getting your audio the most direct method you can to the modulator. Now, last week I asked a question, what is the most popular connector used for balanced audio? And I got an answer from Kirk King, KF5UNO, and he said the most popular balanced audio connector is an XLR connector. So congratulations, Kirk. You're going to win this MFJ VHF UHF telescope and antenna with a BNC connector on the rear. It's VHF or UHF, probably would do 222. You just pull it out to the right wavelength for the band that you're on. And as we mentioned a little earlier, next week we're going to give away some of these Howl Sound T-shirts. If you'd like to win one of those, we're giving away five of them. Then send your answer to hamnationcontest@gmail.com and tell me, what movie did both Joe Walsh and Steven Spielberg have cameo appearances in? hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could win. And Bob, I'm going to turn it back to you.
All right. Well, that was great. And there was a question in the chat room earlier tonight about how to do that. And there's your answer. You make a breakout box, and you can plug various things into that. It's easy to do, and there's the answer. So can't get it to you any quicker. Val, are you still with us, or are you overworking something on 40 meters? What's happening there?
No, I got the net here on 20 right now, but I'm not talking to anybody on there right now. But I'll probably check in when the show's over.
Okay, well, we'll look for you there. Thanks very much for being here. Next week, Cheryl, we'll be back with the chat room. Don will be back live. That's how we're going to do this. We're going to try to add more segments, but we'll have to rotate them a little bit because there's so much to cover in amateur radio, and we're trying to put it all together right here on Ham Nation. We thank Leo for giving us the bandwidth. Brian, you're stellar making it all happen. We make it so hard for you to do, but we're going to try to make it a little easier. Gordo, what's the final word from Costa Mesa? Everything about to shut down, and you're headed for the 40-meter afternet, I betcha.
Actually, Bob, we don't have Gordo on right now.
Gordo not here?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, he is. I know he's on 40 meters. Then we've got Cheryl will be on her normal 38-47, 72-68. And Val and all the other gang, K1LTJ and Mike and all of them will be there. So the afternet frequencies are busy, and it makes it so much fun. George, you have the Dewdrop in and all of the other frequencies there for D-Star?
Yeah, Echo Link is going to be on Star, Dewdrop in Star, node number 355-800. And the D-Star net's back in full swing now on Reflector 14, Module C. And I'm going to try to make all these nets after the show tonight.
Okay. Well, I won't be there because all of my equipment's 300 miles west. So we'll be listening around on some of the internet's receivers. But sorry, we'll miss all of you. Well, it's been so much fun bringing Joe to you tonight. He's really looking forward to coming back more. And you see where his heart is in building things. And we're very excited to have Joe as a good part of Ham Nation and everybody else that spends so much time to put this together. We thank you for being there. And please share with all your friends. You can go listen to the replay, and I bet the replays are going to be busy this next week. Just put Ham Nation into Google. That's all you have to do, Ham Nation. And when it comes up, you'll see all the programs, the past programs, over on the left side. This program will be probably tomorrow night. We'll have it up. The replays will be ready. But you can see all of them. And then on Wednesday night, you hit the watch live and you get to see us live. Thanks very much to everybody who are out there watching. We'll see you on the afternets and next week right here on Ham Nation. 73 for now from K9EID. Bye-bye for now.
73.